look in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. Nah, it's just the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I'm your hero, Sean, sidekick, Danny. How are you, man?
My manufacturing protocol dictates that I must initiate self-destruct sequence in this situation.
Don't self-destruct. Oh, man, another fun-filled week.
You know, I can't remember who it was, but there was a comedian that pointed out, it's like, dude, like, why are people so excited to just see random objects in the sky, especially got to see a bird? Oh my god, it's a bird!
Times were a lot simpler back in the 60s, man, that's all I gotta tell you. Or they were just tripping balls.
Exactly. I mean, I know it's like New York City, but like, New York City has birds, right? Like, pigeons even?
No, they're rats with wings.
But still, a bird. For you not to be that excited, for you to see, like, a bird, like, for you to yell out loud and point, oh my god, it's a bird! And it's like, nah, dude, it's a plane. Like, you also have, like, three major airports, like, in the area. Like, you would think you would see a plane every once in a while. But no, apparently not. Not that much, not often for you to, like, point and yell.
Maybe it was because they were... Because, you know, World War II just was done, and they were afraid of the Russians bombing, so maybe look up in the sky, there's a plane, was a lot more serious of a threat back in the day.
Maybe. Or maybe they're just a bunch of, like, idiots, and that's why Superman was just able to, like, wear sunglasses and not be recognized.
Exactly.
Because it's the same people that, like, don't know what a bird or a plane, like, get excited when they see a bird or a plane in the sky.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, because, you know, Batman has to only could fight crime during the night, because if he doesn't in the day, he'll sparkle.
Exactly. new conspiracy theory. I appreciate that, Sean.
Spoiler alert coming up.
So, Sean, apparently Sir Hoppyhead is now officially an Instagram influencer.
I mean, if you're influencing me to drink, you've been doing that for a long time.
Well, I mean, no, if I influence people to drink, then that doesn't explain my wife's sobriety.
We all have our own fix.
Exactly. But I went and tried this new food truck. It's not too far from where I live. It's like a hibachi.
Mm-hmm.
And I posted about it on the social media, and this board game group, Game Friday,
mm-hmm.
They do a board game podcast and stuff, and they ended up going there last night and tagged on the social media that it was my fault that they went there. So I influenced their decision on where to eat.
Oh, man.
It only has to happen once. It's like when you become a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
You just have to do that once, and then for the rest of your life you're known as New York Times bestselling author. You know, whomever.
True. I mean, that's a lot of that's a lot of responsibility you have, Danny. Do we really trust you with responsibility like this?
You know what? I want to be able to say that I want to use my power for good.
There is no good.
Support people that deserve to be supported.
Something like that.
Like people make amazing food or sell amazing beer.
True.
So, actually, you know what, Sean? Speaking of wife, I have a question for you.
Yes.
My wife, you know, we're going to go behind the scenes a little bit on this one, Sean.
Oh, boy.
Like, set the whole story. So today is Sunday, February 16th, right?
Correct.
And so we're having a discussion how far away March 7th is.
So why are we planning your birthday?
My wife was just saying that my wife said it's 3 weeks and 5 days away. And I said, no, it's 3 weeks and 6 days. And she's like, no. Friday is 5 days, and then from Saturday it's 3 weeks. And I'm like, yeah, but how do you get to Saturday? She's like, because Saturday is the next day. And it just happened. And I'm like, yeah, but you're just skipping a whole day. And then later on she's like, yeah, because then Friday is 1 week and 1 day. And I'm like, okay, so how do you get that extra day in your math? Like, your math is off. And she's like, stop boring me with your logic. And then she said, and then of course, as the woman, she decided that she didn't want to talk about it anymore. So apparently, case was closed. So like, just like there's this MC Lars song that's like really short, but it's like getting in a fight on the way to Disneyland. Just because you're silent doesn't mean you've won the argument.
Oh, That's pretty funny. No, but and, well, yeah, it's true,
it's
though.
It's funny, and it also, like, hits a little too close to home sometimes. Because I knew I messed up. I know I messed up, especially in the car when I get the arms crossed and looking out the window as a reaction.
You are pretty used to getting that reaction.
I mean, it's not rare, but I just know that's like that's okay. Now she's officially pissed. That's the officially pissed post is arms crossed, looking out the window.
You're not mildly inconvenient or mildly annoying. It's just blown full out fuck Danny time.
But not in a good
way. Not in a good. Is there ever a good way?
I mean, if you're Danny, yes. If you're somebody else, no. Oh, man. So today, Sean, I decided to go a little light because it's actually kind of warmish out here on the beer. So I decided to I'm trying a new brewery, 32 North, based out of San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing it has to do with, like, latitude and longitude.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a Berliner Weiss called Landfall. But it's brewed with raspberry lemonade. And it comes in at 4.1% alcohol and a stunning 3 IBUs.
Hmm.
So it is like almost like candy at this point, right? A 3 IBU?
It sounds like you're just drinking water.
Pretty much. The International Bitterness Unit. So yeah, like that's basically how hoppy a beer is, right?
Yes.
All right. I just wanted to like, you know, explain for the people that aren't beer people and make sure I was not wrong.
No, IBU is straight bitterness.
And so it's like, basically it was the first beer ever brewed there, and we couldn't be more excited to finally be putting it in a can for you. It says, for enjoyment at home or in public, we won't judge. It's a light, crisp, tart flavor boosted with mounds of raspberry lemonade. It's a glorious jubilee of sour and refreshing. So whether you're a beer geek, a wine cooler warrior, Landfall hits the spot. Also, it's damn hot here in San Diego right now, so you need this beer.
I guess if it's over, is it over 70 degrees?
It's like 71 today.
Oh, wow. Must be nice.
It is. Yeah, we visited some friends that are out from Colorado, and like when we picked them up, it was like 54 degrees, and my wife's like, don't you need a jacket? And they're like, it's like 30 degrees warmer here than it is at home at least, because it's snowing in Colorado. So we're good. Relative.
That's funny. It's sunny out, but it's a 49 degrees.
Nice. It's almost barbecue weather.
We're getting there.
But yeah, this is a nice, like, you can definitely taste. It almost tastes like the hot dog on a stick raspberry lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty amazing on its own. But then there's, you know, the fact that it just has a little bit of alcohol. Not enough to, like, make you regret life choices, but just enough to know that you're drinking something.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. It's definitely a good lawnmowing or poolside beer.
Okay. That makes sense.
And this might even, if I could get it like in a bigger pack than just one can by itself, this would probably even replace the Line and Kugel's Summer Shandy as my go-to summer beer.
That's a ballsy statement.
It is, and I stand beside it. I'm excited as strong as my wife does with her bad math, and it's being 3 weeks and 5 days till my birthday. Because I just don't want to talk about it anymore, Sean.
No, you don't. About how to count properly?
Yes, about like logic and math.
I mean, you do have a lot of time pushing boxes and counting boxes all day. I mean, your math skills are probably superior.
Right, because when we were driving out, I was like, we're going to get something to eat. I was like, well, when we get to the place, let's open the phone, the calendar app on our phone and see who's right. She's like, I don't need to see who's right. I know I'm right.
Sometimes there's just arguments where it's better just to give up.
I did, yes. We just stopped talking. Well, yeah, apparently it's just better to stop talking about it when they say, I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Instead of kicking down the door.
Yes.
Oh, man. So, Danny, I'm having a new beer. Well, no, I guess it's not new. This is the second one I've had. But this is called King Crunch. It is a peanut butter and banana imperial porter coming in at 9.1%. This is a local beer from Philadelphia, coming from Manioc Brewing Company. I said Manioc to somebody in one of my work people, and they looked at me like I was an idiot. They're like, "It's not how you say that." And I'm like, "You know, Manayunk. I'm gonna say it however I want the first time. I feel like I'm being tricked."
Right. Like if you're gonna have like a normal spelling, but then spell it like pronounce it weird, that's on you the first time.
Yeah. You gotta really gotta emphasize that A in that middle, kinda like hook it. Manioc. So, but Manioc also does that cranberry gose that I was drinking in the wintertime. I guess it's still winter, but a few months ago. So this is a really solid dessert porter, though. It's the banana and chocolate just really, or the peanut butter and banana just come in really, really well. So it's a very enjoyable beer, and it's at 9%. So even though you're getting full off peanut butter and banana, you're getting drunk real easy.
Nice. Yeah, I went to the beer farm for lunch again today.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks in a row, and I ended up getting a 5-ounce pour of Great Notions Double Stack.
Mm-hmm.
Which it just, like, you smelt that, and it smelled like walking into, like, a pancake restaurant. Nice. Just the pure, that maple syrup just hits you. And I had my wife take one of my wife to taste it, and she's like, "I don't want to ruin it." And I'm like, "What do you mean ruin it?" She's like, "Well, I like the way it smells. Like, I want to think that it tastes exactly like drinking maple syrup, but I know it's not."
Fair enough.
And sure enough, she took a test of it, and she's like, "No, that does not taste like what it smells like."
She always disappointed.
I mean, it's the story of her life when it comes to anything that involving me.
That's a fair point. It's okay, buddy.
Yeah, I'm used to it. So is she.
Oh, man.
So, this last week was V-Day, Sean.
It was V-Day, the magical Valentine's Day. So I went to two breweries, Danny, and I have to say, why is everybody making kettle sours on Valentine's? It's like a hint that love is sour.
Well, no, more thing of like, they're like, shit, it's almost Valentine's Day. We got to make a beer that's really easy to make and that the ladies might drink.
Fair enough.
Which is funny because I think mine might be a kettle sour. I don't know. Don't judge.
Don't judge. So first, I started at Double Nickel Brewing, where we had Monty's Reserve, which was a raspberry sour. You could also buy this in 4-packs at the brewery as well. This one was really good. It was only 4% ABV, so on the lighter scale, but I rated it a 4.5 on Untappd. You can follow me at Dr. Doom 2828. But I really liked their raspberry kettle sour enough to purchase it. I almost grabbed one of the cans to drink on the show, but then when I saw that sweet, sweet King Crunch, I was taken away.
I can imagine. I mean, it sounds pretty amazing.
While I was there, you know, I had to get my Nocturnal Creatures on. Nocturnal Creatures is a 13% pastry stout with all sorts of fun yummies. We then went to...
Well, I was going to say, that one is actually pretty good. That was one of the beers that I was able... That and the Vienna Lager were the two that I tried when they were out here at the Brewery West event.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's one of my favorite dessert stouts to drink. And then we went over to Forgotten Boardwalk, where they had a strawberry kettle sour with another kettle sour in the back room. So during special events, they'll actually open up the brewery to like its own like tap area, so you could kind of hang out. And the best part about it is they don't allow kids back there. So if you're trying to hide from kids, it's like It's a great place to go have a beer when you're at Forgotten Boardwalk during busy days or during busy events.
That seems pretty unfair to not allow kids back there.
It keeps the peace, man. It keeps the peace. That's all I got to say. But both of the strawberry sour was a little weak. I wasn't overly impressed with it. I think the other one was like another raspberry sour. That one was better, but the sour game is definitely a little bit more hit or miss at Forgotten Boardwalk, though.
Nice. You know, with that brewery, I keep wanting to say forbidden.
It's not forbidden, it's forgotten.
Which it just sounds more fancy.
It does. It's I know some people haven't been there, but it's all like carnival themed. Like, so it's very kind of interesting to see, because it's like, you know, Roaring Twenties, down by the pier, Atlantic City, kind of boardwalk theme. That's where it gets like all its inspiration, and even the mascot looks like a little circusy cat thing. So they definitely have like some really good namings to their beers. So I think a lot of their advertisement is really good.
It's very well themed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like the themes to it, because it always has something to do with the boardwalk. As much as the music does get tiring, it doesn't. The music there is always like some kind of like circus boardwalk music that you feel like you would be listening to if you were there. And a lot of their decorations is like all just kind of rustic memorabilia from like an old boardwalk. So it's a really cool place to go and have a beer.
That's cool. It's like it's a brewery that has themed, but not their theme isn't intellectual property theft.
No, not at all.
Oh man, speaking of like a brewery that's themed but like might be misthemed in as soon as a Hangar 24.
Oh, are they getting out of the airplane themes?
Well, no, they're adding a third location.
Wait, they had a second location? The restaurant, right?
Well, no. I asked the same question in my head when I saw that they were announced adding a third location. I was like, wait, they have a second? And I had forgot that they opened one up in Lake Havasu.
Oh, got you. Interesting.
So they have the hangar at the Redlands Airport, mm-hmm. which, and all their beers are kind of beer themed to, you know, airplanes or things like, I guess, tied in with planes. Like they have like the Betty, their IPA, that's like the
nose
and hang pinup art.
Yeah, no, which it makes total sense. It's in the field. I allow it.
Yes, it's close enough. So, but they're opening a third location in Irvine. Because apparently Orange County doesn't have enough breweries.
I guess they're trying to really penetrate the market out there.
You said penetrate.
Well, because I just don't know. Like, if you think about it, how many people from the Orange County are driving to the Inland Empire to go looking for beer?
Right, but you don't have to drive to Inland Empire looking for beer when it comes to Hangar 24. You can go to Stater Brothers or Vaughn's or Albertsons or Ralph's.
I mean, I get you, but I'm just saying.
I mean, when you went there, was there anything where you're like, wow, I didn't have to go to Stater Brothers to get this beer?
I said, when I went there, I said, wow, I can't believe I came here. Like, I don't know if, like, it was like a nice trip through memory lane, and that was as much excitement as I got from going to Hangar 24.
Right, you're like, man, like, next time I want to trip down memory lane, I'll just go to the grocery store that's right around the corner from my mom's house and buy, like, a six-pack and just sit on the couch and watch TV and drink it.
That's too much beer. I'll just go to Packing House.
Yes. Well, and a lot of the, I guess, people in the beer, like, complaining sphere is that they've kind of gone downhill since their original head brewer left to go to San Diego to open a brewery or work for a different brewery down there.
Makes sense. I definitely feel like they were, like, back in the day, they definitely released more limited stuff. And then, like, there was that whole, like, beer tasting, like, soap thing that happened. So, like, I don't know. It just definitely feels like they're off track. Like, I mean, when I went, it was still, like, really busy. Like, there was still a lot of people there. So I feel like Redlands still likes it. I mean, it's probably it's a cool place to go hang out and have a beer. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I wouldn't drive from Riverside out there every day to go. But, like, if you lived out there, it wouldn't be a bad place to just, if you just want to go get a casual beer.
Right. But at the same time, like, I think a lot of that, too, might just be, like, their name.
True. I mean, they do have an established name in Southern California now.
Right. And so you're like, well, Hangar 24, if I don't like the beer, then there must be something wrong with me because they have this reputation for being a good brewery. But that reputation was an old reputation, not necessarily the current reputation.
Yeah, that's definitely fair.
Right. And I don't know, man. Like you said, and I agree with you, like back in the day, you'd go there and you're like, oh, this is a beer I'd never seen, but like a variant of their stout or just a different something taproom exclusive only, like or a small batch that like if you don't drink it that day and you come back the next week, it might be gone.
Correct. Like that's I think one of the things that when you go to a brewery, you want to see like hey, like you get their main beers everywhere you go, but you really want to see like what the brewer's really made of when you go to the tap house.
Yeah, especially like a brewery like Hangar 24 where you can go to pretty much any liquor store or grocery store or even 7-Eleven and get their beer. But there's no reason for you to drive that. If you're just going to get their IPA, one of their IPAs like the Betty or one of their bomber, their chocolate bomber stout, you don't have to go to the brewery. You can just go to Stater Brothers or wherever and get it. So there has to be something like a variant of their stout that's brewed with different adjuncts.
Yeah.
Go there.
No, I agree.
Oh, man. So this is February, Sean, and I thought I'd talked about this before, but apparently I looked back on it and it was not on any of our like lists.
Yep.
You know, they kind of talk about different like corporations like pandering or just trying to like use different celebrations as an excuse.
Okay. I see where
you're
going.
And so we're Black History Month and Sean, yep. Barnes & Noble, they tried to do a Black History event in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And once the interwebs found out about their plans, they were kind of shamed into canceling it. And deservedly so.
Oh, boy.
Because, you know, like, when you hear Black History Month at Barnes & Noble, you're like, oh, so they're going to have, like, some kind of a event where they're, like, promoting either up-and-coming African-American authors or, you know, establish, like, Maya Angelou or something like that. Like, establish, like, have some kind of thing where it's like, oh, hey, if you like Maya Angelou mm-hmm. or this other famous, you know, Black author, check out these current ones or new ones. This is their first book,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep, I see what you're saying. I agree.
Right, I mean, that kind of makes sense, right? Like, you'd be like, oh, that's cool. Like, it's Black History Month. I understand. They're pushing, you know, Black authors, promoting them. This is the perfect time to do it.
Yep.
No. Barnes & Noble's felt that the best way to celebrate Black History Month was to take, like, all the classics, like The Wizard of Oz and Huckleberry Finn and Frankenstein and stuff, and just make the character on the cover, just make them Black.
Really? That's really what happened?
Yes.
Who thought that was a good idea?
Somebody in marketing or somewhere at Barnes & Noble. So, like, they had, like, the picture of Frankenstein's monster. Instead of being green, it was Black.
That's so bad.
Huck Finn, Black. Or even the best one was Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, because not only did they just make her Black, but then, like, apparently whoever did the cover didn't read the book. Because, you know, in the movie, she wears the ruby red slippers.
Yeah.
But in the book, they're silver. And the only reason they made them, like, red in the movie, basically, is because they wanted to show off the whole new Technicolor thing, and silver isn't as bright a color as red is.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, hey, we got this fancy new color. Let's make them red so it pops. So, for the Wizard of Oz, they made the shoes red high tops, and they had them, like, that where they, like, tied the laces together and had them, like, strung over her shoulders, like she's on her way to a basketball game.
I don't even know, man.
I know. I told my wife about this yesterday, and she pretty much had the same reaction. She's like, wait, somebody thought this was a good idea? She's like, wait, am I allowed to be mad, like, as a white person?
I think it's just idiotic. I mean, I'm not even mad. It's just idiotic.
Yeah, I think as a human being, you can see the fact that, like, this is not a very well thought out idea.
I mean, how I view everything is, I view it as, like Morgan Freeman said, like, we shouldn't have a Black History Month. It should just be, like, part of the norm to study. It should just be, you know, part of the culture of learning. You know, if you have to take, like, I get, like, college is different, but I mean, if you have to go out of your way to try to include something, are you doing it right?
Right. But at the same time, like, we do have Black History Month, and if you're going to celebrate Black History Month, is the best way to just make Dorothy black, even though she's still white on the inside of the cover, on the side of the book, when you read the book.
Yeah.
Versus, like, you know, promoting a book that maybe even if it wasn't necessarily by a black author, but has black characters in it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. It's just funny. Like, but rightfully so, they canceled it pretty much immediately as soon as, like, the word got out, the covers got leaked. Sometimes, you know, cancel culture isn't a bad thing.
No, it's not. Not at all.
Speaking of, like, weird ideas, this is, I don't know how to feel about this, Sean. I'm kind of cautiously optimistic, but we got our first look of Robert Pattinson in the bat suit.
And he's in the dark, so he doesn't sparkle.
No, and I mean, but also you can't really see the suit either.
No, you can't. All you see is, like, his chest and his face. I thought it was interesting that they made the bat symbol have, like, hinges in it, so that way, like, it moves, like, with him. Like, it's kind of more, like, thought. When I first saw it, I was like, why does the bat symbol look like that? Like, it's idiotic. And then he kind of, like, moved a little bit, and, like, I saw it, like, move, and it made more, I was like, oh, that makes a lot more sense. Like, now that I kind of get the idea, I like it.
Right, it's definitely a better idea than bat nipples.
True, for sure. I mean, unless you're into that thing.
Right. And, you know, like, I was talking to somebody yesterday about the whole, about this, and he was kind of, like, making fun of Robert Pattinson being cast, and I had to remind him, I'm like, well, did you like Michael Keaton as Batman? And he was like, dude, Michael Keaton's the best Batman. And I'm like, yeah, but when he was cast, the only thing people really knew him for at the time was Mr. Mom. And everyone was like, oh, Mr. Mom's going to be Batman? And I was like, did you like Heath Ledger as the Joker? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, because when he was cast as Joker, the biggest thing he had done at that point was Brokeback Mountain. And everyone was like, so is Batman and Joker going to have sex?
You're not wrong, Daniel. You're not wrong.
So, I mean, it is DC, and, like, they really haven't had that great of a track record. Like, they've already, they've already changed the official name mid-release of the Birds of Prey movie.
What'd they change it to?
So originally it was, like, Birds of Prey, The Emancipation of One Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
So now it's just Harley Quinn .. Birds of Prey.
What?
Like, it's, yes, that's the name of the movie now, officially.
Oh,
officially.
My God.
Because, and somebody pointed it out, like, whether, like, might be sexist, but I kind of understand it's not, but because they pointed out how, like, Ford versus Ferrari was, like, a roaring success, and it made $31 million on its opening weekend.
Yes.
But Birds of Prey was a colossal failure its opening weekend because it only made $33 million. And I was like, but, and people are like, I think I'm watching sexism. And it's like, no, because Ford versus Ferrari is a drama, and dramas tend to not open at large numbers. They're not expected to open at big numbers, right?
Correct.
Versus how superhero movies have been opening,
yes,
for the last however many years now with big budgets, and they open at like $50 to $100 million.
Correct.
So it's not, it, like, it's at that point you're comparing apples and oranges. It's not about women and men. It's more about genres of drama versus superhero movie.
No, I definitely agree. I think there's bigger budgets and whatnot into making, you know, superhero movies. And I think there's bigger expectations on opening weekend.
Right, and a lot of people think that, like, the fact that they gave it an R rating hurt its ratings, because with Harley Quinn and all the women, like, you basically blocked out, like, young, like, teen and younger girls from watching the movie.
Then maybe they shouldn't have put Harley Quinn in the movie.
Well, just the fact that it's an all-woman cast, too. And it looks like they released a comic book with Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey. It just came out this last week, and it looked like, I finally got a chance to see the cover, and it looked like the characters in the cover are the same ones that are in the movie. So even if it's not officially, it appears to be some sort of offshoot of the movie in the comic book.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really surprised that they did a comic book with the movie. I mean, that's just, I feel like that's just very, that's how the business is ran now.
Right, because it had, like, the character looked like Rosie Perez, and then it had Cassandra Cain and Huntress and Black Canary. So, it wasn't the original Birds of Prey with Batwoman, or Batgirl and Black Canary and Huntress. So, I don't know. I'm kind of, like, and then the comic book wasn't a normal-sized comic book. It was, like, a weird, like, big book. Almost like a magazine-sized.
Gotcha.
So, I'll probably read it just because the Huntress is in it and I'm an idiot when it comes to... Oh, man. But as alluded to in the beginning of the show, Sean, we both finally got a chance to watch The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian. I have spoken.
It is the way.
It is, yeah. I know a lot of people did complain that they felt like the show was very repetitive, but I kind of felt like the show had a premise, had an initial premise, but I don't know if the show ever had like a long term idea of what was going to happen. Like, so we have the Mandalorian, who is, you know, not, because it's not a race, it's just like a belief. You know, he finds Baby Yoda, who's all over the internet, and he's basically just trying to keep Baby Yoda alive. And that's basically almost every episode, with some twist here and there.
Right. I mean, that was like, so like the show was done basically with Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, which I'm sure you don't know who Dave Filoni is, Sean.
I don't, but you're probably going to enlighten me right now.
He's basically the brains behind all the animated Star Wars stuff, like the Clone Wars and the Rebels.
See, I tried to give Clone Wars a watch, but I just couldn't, like, when they made the droids act like they had personalities, like, he couldn't, like, the droid couldn't shoot something, and he's like, well, that's my malfunction, that's how I was made. I was like, alright, I can't watch this. Like,
right.
I gave up very quickly.
But then I heard it got a lot better, because, like, in the beginning, like, a lot of people hated the character of Ahsoka, and as it got to the end, everyone's like, damn it, why did you make me care about her?
I mean, I didn't even get to her. I mean, it was all terrible. Wait, or is that the villain?
No, she's the one that becomes Anakin's Padawan.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I couldn't even get past the first episode. Like, I thought the droids were annoying. Like, everything just felt so, like, and Yoda's just kind of over there, like, I got big balls I'm going to make silly one-off one-liners against Count Dooku, and then do all this crazy shit, and it was just like, the whole thing felt very childish, like, where Star Wars does have, like, I know it, like, it's supposed to be a kid's show, so that's why they did it, but just watching, like, all the Star Wars so far, you know, there is some serious tone to it, and that's where it just kind of, like, I felt like, oh, like, okay, after the first joke, I was like, okay, that's kind of funny, and then it was, like, after the 10th one in 20 minutes, I was like, oh my god, dude, this is painful.
Right, and the show, I haven't seen much, I've seen more than you have. It does get a lot better. I mean, I didn't like it as much because there was, like, two versions of the Clone Wars. There's, like, the old one that was, like, basically it, like, linked episode 2 and 3 together, and it looked like, and not it looked like, but it was done by the same artist that did Samurai Jack.
Mm-hmm.
So it has that look, like, all the characters look like they're, like, Samurai Jack-esque.
Which one was that?
It was, like, the Clone, like, that one was also called Clone Wars.
Okay, because the Clone Wars I watched, I hated the animation. I thought it was terrible.
And then the newest one is more cartoony.
Got you.
And that's the one that's, like, continuing on. But again, like I said, it gets more serious. It gets more deep. But then the other thing, dude, that I liked about this is that and I was kind of upset that I thought she was only going to be in one episode, was Gina Carano.
Mm-hmm.
She was, like, basically a rebel drop trooper.
Oh, got you. Yeah, she came back at the end.
Yes. Do you know who she is in real life, Sean?
I don't. I mean, outside of a attractive woman, no, I don't.
She was basically, like, the first big MMA woman.
Oh, got you.
Like, she was, like, Ronda Rousey, like, before Ronda Rousey and stuff. she was like the one that was like dominating everybody.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely was like heavier set, but now that you say, like, you know, because you could tell, like, she's like, she was like buff and stuff, like, at some point, and she just like is like a tank of a girl. And you know, if you're talking about somebody who was like this special arms trooper that was using all this advanced weaponry, like, you, I mean, it's not like some little fragile girls running around out there with a gun half the size of her.
Yeah, because she was like using the big gun, like the saw, basically, like mm-hmm. the, you know, and it looked like she could handle that, like, in real life, and she probably could. And then there's also the scene when he goes to find her again after running into her, like, accidentally, when he actually goes to find her, and she's basically like in a underground fighting ring.
Yeah,
fighting holding her up, and it's not like, again, it's not like, wow, that doesn't seem very like plausible, but it's like, no. She can probably take him in real life, you know?
Exactly. I was surprised that they showed his face at the end.
Right. I was actually going to bring that up. I was reading this review, and it was talking about how... It's like, did they really cast Pascal to, you know, one of the most attractive men in Hollywood in a role where they're not going to take his helmet off? And it's like, dude, like, that's the character. Kind of like... the first Judge Dredd movie, like, people were pissed because in the comics, Judge Dredd never takes his helmet off.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we cast Sylvester Stallone. We're not going to have him keep his helmet on the whole movie. And they're like, well, then why did you cast Sylvester Stallone? Like, you should have cast somebody that you knew and just knew that you were going to keep the helmet on, because they did that in the remake, mm-hmm. the second movie. Because it wasn't a sequel. It was a remake.
Yeah. Right? I think so. I didn't watch it.
It was actually really good. Like, way better than the first one. Kind of like how they have the two Punisher movies with, the first one had John Travolta and Thomas Jane.
Yeah.
And then they had the second one, and I can't remember who was in the second one, but it was a much better movie.
Yeah.
More true to the Punisher character.
Yeah, I think it got worse reviews, but it was actually very gory and very much like what I expected from a Punisher movie.
Right. And so this is the same thing with the Judge Dredd movies. The second one was more true to the comics and the character.
True.
And it was pretty badass, but yeah, I just thought it was pretty funny because this guy's like, they're not gonna cast him in this, you know, and he doesn't even talk, like, he barely talks, and it's like, come on, man, like, that's the character, like, he's a, you know, he's like a soft-spoken bounty hunter. He's not gonna be super talkative. He's not, you know, Han Solo that needs to talk his way out of everything.
I think the way that they did it, I liked too, like, that he, It was like the droid. The it's like, I don't take my helmet off for humans, and then the droid's like, I'm not a human, you idiot. He's like,
no living thing has seen me without my helmet since I was a child, and it's like, dude, I'm not alive. And he's like, you got me there, man.
you son of a bitch, I'm in.
my favorite scene in the whole whole show.
What?
Was the two speeder troopers that, like, ended up, like, nabbing Baby Yoda at the end.
It did get kind of funny, because it did, they definitely, like, kind of mocked. It was, like, a very, like, funny play on how they can't fucking hit anything. So right, it was kind of funny.
Because they, like, nab Baby Yoda, and one of the guys puts it in his bag. It's very, like, Red versus Blue. Like, if you've ever watched the...
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, just, like... mindless conversation, like, they're kind of talking up the head Imperial guy that's in the town. That's like, well, do you want to do this? And it's like, dude, he just wiped out half of his garrison to prove a point, and now you want to do something that might piss him off?
Yeah.
Then, like, yeah, then there's like a something on the ground, and one of the guys, like, they're bored, so the guy grabs his blaster out, he starts shooting at it, and he's like, not even close. And then the other guy looks at him like, you fucking idiot, and he pulls out his blaster, and then can't hit it either. And then they just both look at each other and shrug and put their guns away.
it was pretty funny.
What's her name? Kathleen. Those two stormtroopers were Kathleen Kennedy and Rain. What's his name? The director of Episode 8, Rain, whatever.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's who that was. The least liked people, I guess, apparently, in the Star Wars universe, according to the hardcore Star Wars nerds.
Fuck them. I don't care about them. I think my favorite episode was the one where they had to break out that guy. So he went back and he joined up with, like, his old gang, and they betrayed him, and he ends up, like, fucking him over at the end. I really liked that episode. It was pretty funny, but I definitely enjoyed that one.
Yeah, definitely showed like that he wasn't just a fighter. Like he definitely had like a military strategy behind his thinking, and that was my favorite episode overall. But my favorite moment was the speeder trooper scene.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend people to watch it. I mean, it felt like a pretty casual show. It did have some laughs. It does have some serious moments in it, but I think overall it was a good show. Like the story so far, you know, Mandalorian is just really just trying to keep this baby alive, I don't really know where it's trying to go to overall, but I mean it's still a fun watch.
Yes, they're already started pre-production for season two, so that should be they're supposed to be next year, beginning like around this time next year.
Nice, I can't. Oh, well, I'll be excited to watch it.
Yeah, it's only 8 episodes. For some reason, I kept thinking it was 10, but it's only 8 episodes, and they run anywhere from 35 to 45 minutes, so it's not even a full hour.
No,
an episode.
No, not at all.
Oh man, but I was flipping back and forth between watching a Star Wars thing and playing a Star Wars thing, Sean.
See, I was thinking about getting it, but I heard it was kind of like Dark Souls, and that's why I was kind of afraid to play Fallen Order. What are your thoughts on it?
It's a little more forgiving than Dark Souls. Like people, you know, I've never played Dark Souls, but I do know that people talk about how Dark Souls is the one game that actively hates the people that play it.
Oh, I mean, it's true. Like I played Bloodborne, and I literally like. I just wanted to throw a controller. Like, I didn't even get to like the first boss, and I gave up.
But I mean, there are moments where it's frustrating to me. It seems more along the lines of God of War.
Gotcha.
When it is gameplay, but then its combat is kind of a little bit like Dark Souls, where you can't necessarily brute force your way through everything. You have to like learn the patterns of their attacks and counterattack and block and stuff like that. Like you have to think a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And contrary to the people that we play Destiny with, because of the fact that I'm making my way through this game, I can do a jump puzzle. it helps if you give me, I don't know, one or two tries to learn it and not push me off the edge when I finally do make it.
No, that's not how Destiny works.
So, because this game is all like running puzzle, like there's parts where you have to climb up things and then jump over them or run along certain walls and bounce like a parkour style, like jump back and forth until you get to the side area where you're supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, if you do die, like you have to go back to the last save point, and all the enemies and everything have respawned. And then, when you get to like the different save points, they're basically like meditation circles.
Mm-hmm.
So you can like save. You don't have and that's also where you like level up your like and spend your skill points that you earn by leveling.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but there's an option to rest. And, like, you don't have to rest, but resting will refill your health and all of your health packs.
Gotcha.
But it also respawns all the enemies.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Yes. So I figured out, like, because there's, like, when you look at the map, there's different, like, icon. There's, like, different paths. So there's, like, things that are highlighted green, and that's where areas where you can go. There's areas that are highlighted yellow, and that's, like, paths that you haven't explored yet.
Mm-hmm.
And there's areas that are red that you can't go to yet because you don't have the ability to basically unlock that room.
Mm-hmm.
And so like you're on the first puzzle. I mean the first planet, and you get some abilities, and you go to the second planet, you learn force push.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that enables you to like open some doors.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also a workbench on there where you can upgrade your robot where he can like you can repair him and he can unlock things. And so then I went back to the first planet with some of my abilities, and like literally right by the ship, there was like two areas where you could get an extra health pack. So I went from like 2 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was pretty cool. And so like I'm on my the third planet. I'm like finished the third planet, which was Kashyyyk.
Mm-hmm.
And then like they kind of send you back to the first planet because there's more Imperial activity there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's only 4 planets. I haven't been to the fourth, the one yet, because like you unlock in the beginning, you unlock the two planets, and they're like, "Oh, go to this planet, to like figure this out. But also, like, if you want, you can go to this planet, but that planet's a hellscape. And they're like, yeah. And like, I was reading about it, and they're like, the fact that he calls it a hellscape is kind of your not so subtle hint that you probably shouldn't go there right away. I don't know if there's going to be any more like cameos, but when I was on Kashyyyk, I ended up running into Saw Gerrera. Who was a main figure in like the Clone Wars or Rebels? Rebels, I'm sorry, but he was also in Rogue One.
Got you.
Have you seen Rogue One, John?
I did see Rogue One, but it's been a while.
The one played by what's his name? The dude with the lazy eye.
Oh yeah, I got what you're saying. I know who you're talking about.
So basically, the character in the game looks exactly like
him. Got you. Where does Fallen Order take place in the Star Wars timeline?
It's after Episode 6.
Got you.
Because like the Empire has fallen and it's getting ready, and like the but there's kind of like remnants of them, and the Galactic Senate is in charge and stuff. So it's like after Episode 6.
Got you.
But then the Empire is still kind of going out there and hunting Jedi.
Really?
There's still like a small faction of the Empire operating. Kind of like in it's like not quite as like small as like the Empire and the Mandalorian, because they're still kind of around, but very, very sparse.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is like whatever's left of the Empire here is what's going to form the First Order.
Gotcha.
So it's a pretty fun game, though. Like, the combat is amazing, though. Like I said, like, you can customize your lightsaber. I pre-ordered it, so I was able to, because I wanted to get the orange lightsaber color. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Because if you don't, then you only get the blue and the green. Like a basic Jedi bitch.
You can't get purple?
No, at least not yet. I don't know if that's an unlockable feature. I haven't gotten enough of the abilities to go visit all the secrets, because there's like throughout the planet there's treasure chests.
Mm-hmm.
And that just unlocks what's that called? Like basically like different color, like different outfits or different lightsaber material or color. Well, so far materials. I haven't gotten any colors, but like you can paint your robot or your ship a different color.
Mm-hmm.
There's a term for it. Like Destiny, like the
skin?
The skins, but they're like, because it's not gameplay stuff, but it's like optional stuff or whatever. But I know there's a term, but...
Cosmetics.
That's the word. Thank you, Sean.
You're welcome.
The wind beneath my wings.
I'm useful today.
You're helping. Speaking of helping, Sean, you kind of sent me something vague when you were like texting about the show. You said you had something to open up to our audience.
I do. So Danny, I was, this is a confession. I'm going to apologize to everybody who I'm going to bring shame to. So I joined a new subreddit called Anime Memes. So I randomly clicked on there for one. I think I was like trying to look up something and I saw that there was a subreddit. I clicked on it and I was looking at the different memes on there. Danny, I realized that I recognized probably like most of the anime memes going on. So I guess I've reached a level of watching anime to where I am definitely like in the 1% of anime watchers at this point.
You're a 1%er, huh? So if we had a whatever that was, where people were protesting the 1%ers of money, but if they had an anime version, that'd be you.
Pretty much. I mean, the nice thing is at least it's they stay current with more updated content, but it was just kind of like, it was like Captain America, like, I understand that reference, I know that anime, I get that joke, like, I was like, and then I realized, I was like, man, that's kind of sad.
You've gone full weeb, Sean.
Exactly.
How's that neck beard coming in?
it's bad. I need to go get it trimmed. It's getting too long.
Have you already ordered your Trilby from Amazon, but you're going to tell everybody that it's a fedora?
No, I did not. I'm trying to stay away from that.
Not apparently not that hard though. Hard enough. You're well on your way.
Exactly. You know the and then like I'm going back through because they're on my in my clan we have a anime channel and it's just mostly me just posting animes I've watched and my review of the anime.
So basically, it's if somebody renamed it Sean's Anime Corner, they wouldn't be wrong.
No, they just need to call it Irish's, or because that was the old my old PS name, or just turn it to Gynophobic's Anime Corner.
Yes, I'm gynophobic for except for anime girls. My gynophobia doesn't account for 2D.
Exactly.
But Sean, through our discussion last, like I wanted to talk about this last week, but it seems more appropriate now. There was an anime term that you didn't know. Did you learn it?
I looked it up because I didn't. I thought it was a show. I didn't realize that was like a
genre that was a sex thing.
Yes, I did not know Futanari.
Yes, because it takes kind of. There's a scene in the next anime we're gonna like. We talked a little bit about last week, but we actually watched.
Mm-hmm.
That is full on Futanari.
Full on with no forgiveness.
Yeah. So
no,
basically,
no Futanari spit.
Is a chick with a penis.
Got you.
It's like a boobs and a dick.
You are absolutely correct.
And so I had mentioned that one of our friends in the chat, his favorite subject of his favorite genre of anime was Futanari Bukkake. Does that make more sense now?
Yes, it makes a lot more sense.
And am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong at all. So last week we talked about Interspecies Reviewer, and without watching the anime and just listening to people complain about it, I made the assumption that people were being whiny bitches about the show, and you know Funimation was probably wrong for taking it down because we listed some other animes that were pretty hardcore that nobody took down. And I want to apologize because I was wrong. It's very intense.
But I don't know. I mean, like, granted, it showed a lot of boobs, but there was like I guess what would be on Skinamax, the softcore. It was more on the softcore side because I was expecting more hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, like watching the first episode, I was like, "That's it." And you had mentioned that the first episode is basically, you know, rated PG compared to the rest of it.
Yeah.
And it was, but even then I was, like I said, I was expecting like full on like cum shots or something like that.
I mean,
everybody was talking.
Yeah, at that point that's just hentai now.
But that's what I was expecting. Like, yeah. I thought it was going to be full on hentai the way people were talking about it and the fact that Funimation pulled it off their streaming service.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I
wasn't expecting softcore porn. I wasn't expecting people to be made love to.
So did you watch all the uncensored episodes then?
I watched all of them but one.
Got you.
I did, but I did make it to the one that our friend mentioned was like the worst one, the sex change one.
Yeah.
Like basically they go to, because like where they live, like they're adventurers, but there's like a basically the red light district, the succubi district where there's... Mm-hmm. All sorts of prostitutes and stuff, and brothels, and one of the ones they decided to start like raiding the brothels.
Yep.
And so one of the ones they go to, you drink a potion and it turns you the opposite gender.
Correct.
And so one of the ones in the group is like, well, if I'm going to be a girl, I want to experience what it's like to have sex as a girl. And they're like, no men. And so like looking through the catalog, the one found a loophole where there's this one species where both the men and the women have penises, but the women are even more endowed than the men.
Yeah, it was like the hyena girls or something.
Yes,
the
hyenas, yes. But yeah, like, it was fun, it was interesting, like, there was, I don't know, like, if you hadn't said it gets different after the first episode, because I found the first episode, it wasn't even funny, actually, like some of the jokes and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But once it got on, like I kind of started liking the characters more and the interaction.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty funny. The fact that, like, that elf boy liked the 60-year-old woman.
Yeah.
Like, old, but then, like, the human dude was into, like, the 500-year-old elf, and the dude's like, dude, she's 500 years old. That's gross. And it's like, she looks like she's 20 to me. That's cool.
Yeah, I really feel like the first episode was like, hey, this is how the angel gets in the story, and this is who's who, and then it ends, and then it really, like, the anime really starts in episode 2.
Right, and apparently the angel is packing heat.
Yeah, she has both parts, and she's packing heat.
Well, because there's an episode where they want to go try, like, review the fairy brothel, and, like, they get there, and, like, one of the things is they have to measure how big they are so they know what fairies are eligible, like, they can actually, like, pick from.
Yes.
And the human can only pick from, like, 2. Like, the elf can pick from, like, 20, and the halfling can pick from any of them.
Yeah.
And then, like, the angel's like, sorry, like, none of them can handle you. But I did like the part, like, parts at the end where the fairy would write a review, and they'd be at the pub reading it, and they'd all, like, look back at the fairy with judgment.
The angel, yeah.
I mean, the angel, yes. The angel's the, like, one where was packing too much heat, and they're, like, looking at it, and she gets all embarrassed, and then the one with the, where it picked the dude, well, the cat, the hyena, because mm-hmm. of the penis.
Yeah, exactly. I watched episode 6. It just released over the weekend. I didn't, so I made the mistake of watching the censored version, and I feel like you have to really watch the uncensored. Like, this is just a flat out adult anime. You know, it's in between anime and hentai. To your point, it's like HBO Skinemax. It's like it's just very extreme. I really feel like the censored versions, like, ruin a lot of the jokes that are going on, because how much they blur and block and stuff, where, you know, you just have to suck it up and just watch the uncensored version to really kind of appreciate it. Because it is a very extreme anime that, you know, that's doing something, like, you know, we all kind of just jokingly thought in the back of our mind through time. Like, who has not thought of, and something about, like, what would it be like to have sex with all these other different animal or these different races? You know what I mean? Like, for the, I think about even, like, Skyrim, there's, like, 12 different races. Obviously, like, nobody thinks about it except for the one perv in the corner.
You mean the one that the question that Mass Effect answered?
Mass Effect answered?
Yes. Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, if you're going to want to watch the censored version, watching the censored version of this is like listening to a censored version of, like, a Eminem album.
You're just not going to understand what he's trying to say.
Right. Like, you can kind of get, like, yes, but you're going to miss a lot of the points in the jokes.
Exactly.
So, you've been watching more anime than I, Sean.
Danny, I've been on a kick, and I will tell you, this morning, I ended up finishing an anime that was just, it saddened me. It, like, destroyed what I was trying to accomplish. It was like first world problems. No, not that.
Oh.
But sorry, Sean. Anyways, we'll talk about that anime next week. So I watched an anime called Quintessential Quintuplets, because, again, back to, I found a anime meme in r/anime memes where I didn't understand what the anime was about, and I meant to go find that other one too. I'm glad I reminded myself. But anyways, so I watched this anime, and it's basically about this kid, the main guy. He's trying to make money for his family, so he gets recruited into tutoring, and of course he ends up bumping into a transfer student, and they end up having, like, a blowout fight, and it ends up, it's her, and then along, he finds out that it's gonna be her, and he's trying to get there, and all her quote-unquote friends are, like, giving them shit about it. And it turns out that all the girls that are her quote-unquote friends, they're all sisters. They're all basically they're twins. So as you would expect, you know, episodes 1 through 6, just kind of stupid, typical anime, getting to know personalities, going, you know, they got to, if they don't pass their midterms, like, he's going to get fired, yada, 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 a lot of typical anime bullshit there. So the back half, it starts to really kind of dive in, it starts to get a lot more serious. I'm gonna spoil it a little bit just so people understand why it ended up being so enticing to watch. So basically, like, this guy used to be like a little punk as a kid, and like he didn't really care about studying and all this stuff. And so he has a picture of himself in the wallet to remind him like where he was, so that way he could kind of push on. But later on, there's a scene where this girl, one of the sisters that hates him, ends up saying, "Hey, he's like, who's that in your wallet?" He's like, "Oh, it's a family member. It's really him." And she's like, "Oh, he's really cute. I wish you would hook me up sometime." And it ends up turning out, he kind of is really nervous that she saw it, but he played it off. And then she's trying to show him a picture of them when they were younger from like 6 years ago, but he doesn't look at it. But basically he opens up his wallet, pulls out the photo and he unfolds it, and there's a girl on there with him. And then you look at the pictures that the sister had. One of the girls is in the picture, ironically enough. So he has a crush on this school, on this childhood friend who he can't find, that's one of the twin sisters. But all of them look different now, so you can't really say. And he never really describes the childhood friend, so you don't know which one it is outside of probably the one jerk sister, because she probably would, in my thoughts, she would have recognized him. You know what I mean? Right. So it's one of the other four twins that hung out, that was childhood friends with him, that they all don't know that they're together. And none of the girls like talk about a childhood friend like that. So there is a season 2 coming. So at the end of season 1, like, so he is going to get married to one of the girls, but again, it's just like they're very like, they block who it was supposed to be. Like, you know it's one of them, but you don't know which one of them because, like, they changed the hairstyle and stuff. So, like, right. Season 2 would be pretty – it should be pretty interesting to see how it finishes. And that's kind of, like, the only – like, it, like literally, like, if you – like, the first half of the anime isn't all that, like, fantastic. But the second half with all the different drama going on ended up being a lot better to watch.
That's, yes, and because it's like going skiing, I guess, or whatever. You got to work your way up the hill before you can go downhill.
Exactly. Because
a lot of animes do that, where it takes a long time to get up the hill before you start rolling downhill.
Yeah, I mean, it really felt like they had to explain like the personality of the different twins and get all that together, which I get, but I mean, it took like 6 episodes to get there, Because I was kind of, it was just like the photo that starts it all is like the name of the episode, and at the end of the episode, you're just like, oh my god, what the fuck just happened? What just happened? Like somebody just dropped a bomb.
Yeah, I saw this. Like the show kind of reminds me of a kind of cheesy joke I heard, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
There's a woman that she has identical twin sons. One's named Amal, and the other one is Juan.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she only carries a picture of one of the kids in the picture,
mm-hmm.
In her wallet. She only carries one picture in her wallet of her kids because they're identical, right?
Yes.
Because, you know, once you've seen Juan, you've seen them all.
Ugh, you're terrible, man.
But you laughed. So that's,
I did.
Don't get mad at me.
You're a bad person.
But I made you laugh. I'm a good person.
Fair enough. I'll take it. So there's 6 episodes of a current anime that's still coming out called Bofuru. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Bofuri?
Is it on VRV?
It's on Hulu or Funimation.
Okay, I couldn't find it on BRB.
Yeah, it's on Funimation, but it looks like Funimation's on Hulu right now.
But the quintessential quintuplets is on BRB.
Correct. So this one's I don't want to get hurt, so I'll max out my defense. So basically, it's about a girl that doesn't really play video games who gets convinced to play video games, and she joins a VRV, a virtual reality MMO. And so basically, she's afraid to get hurt, so all she does is just max out her her defenses to the top level. And, you know, she stumbles along and does, like, stupid stuff, and she's, like, she ends up, like, taking so much damage, like, poison damage, she becomes, like, immune to it, and just stupid, like, little shit like that. The anime is 6 episodes long. There's really no point of where the anime is kind of going. Her friend ends up being, like, focuses, like, instead of all defense, she focuses, like, a lot on speed, so that way, like, you can't hit her, so she's super agile, so it's kind of, like, one and the same. There's a couple laughs, but, I mean, the anime overall is just kind of meh. It doesn't have, like, a lot of substance, because, like, the direction of the story seems very vague. Like, all you know for sure is, like, they're playing a game, there's, like, some kind of fiery group that's, like, really starting to get really powerful, and then there's another clan that has, like, all the top fighters in it. So there's, like, aspects building, but there's really no overall point besides just two girls hanging out together playing a video game.
Right. I don't know, but sometimes, like, it's just nice to watch the slice of life anime where people are just being themselves, and, you know, kind of like that one Gamers, where it was just like people, you know, a club for video games.
Yeah.
I don't know.
True.
Total anime to solve world problems or figure out which of the 4 hot chicks you're going to hook up with.
Which twin you're going to hook up with. So, overall, I don't have, like, a very good rating for it. I'm kind of waiting till, like, it concludes to see where it goes, but, I mean, there's just not a lot of substance. So I did end up watching Devilman Crybaby. So this won a Crunchyroll Anime Award last year. It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix original.
Okay.
I don't know if it's a Netflix original, but they have the streaming service. It's a pretty solid anime. It's very intense. It's very gory. And it's about, so basically there's this guy, this kid, and he ends up, his childhood friend comes back in town. The childhood friend's, like, crazy, starts stabbing people at, like, a club, and it reveals all these demons. And then the main character basically turns into a demon, but he keeps, like, his human conscience involved, and he starts killing other demons. So because he turns into a demon, like, his appearance and stuff changes, so, like, people start talking about him at school because he looks way different. Now he's not some, like, little pussy boy. Like, he's, like, really tough. Like, one of the big things is he cries when things are, like, sad and when he tries to protect people. Like, so that's kind of why it's, like, Devil Man, because he's, like, still human, but then, like, the crybaby is because, like, he cries.
Is it subbed or dubbed?
It's subbed.
Okay, because sometimes a lot of the stuff on Netflix is, like, a dubbed-only option, so I...
Got you. I know they speak English, like, in most of the propaganda at the end, so that part does get a little cringy because it sounds weird. Like, it seems very artificial. So right. I think, like, a lot of people said to, like, watch the dubbed version at the end because of all the English talking that happens naturally in the anime. The anime hits, like, episode 6, like, it hits a weird flat point where you don't want to really watch the anime anymore because it gets, like, to me, it got too artsy. Because this is a very out there anime, right? This isn't, like, some mainstream shit. So it does get a little artsy, and it feels like it it hits its face, and then, like, two episodes later, like I was telling Gecko, you gotta, like, just power through it. Like, that's the only reason, like, this anime probably doesn't get, like, a 10 out of 10, because it does really hit, like, hits a weird stall point in the middle of the anime. I mean, it does talk about some events that need to happen to keep the story going on, but it just feels very off from the rest of the anime. The anime gets pretty emotional at the end, though, man. I mean, it was definitely hit the feels towards the end. A lot of stuff I didn't expect to happen really does happen in the anime, and it's just very, very intense.
Okay. Yeah, because, like, and, you know, and it might also be why I didn't like the show that much, too, was the first episode of the Interspecies Reviewer, I watched the dub, and then I watched the rest of the show in sub.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, the characters were, like, it is definitely, like, weird. Like, and I'm definitely not one of those guys where it's, like, you know, subs only, because I've watched animes in dub when, like, it's one where it's, like, I don't know if I necessarily want to pay that much attention to it, but I could be multitasking.
Yeah.
Versus where if you watch something with sub, you definitely have to, like, only watch the show.
No, I get you.
But yeah, no. I mean, it's that one's on Netflix. It's getting hard to, you know, even with the just anime alone, with all the streaming services getting their exclusives or whatnot, it's hard to keep up of where what is.
I mean, definitely. I know next week we're going to talk about the Crunchyroll Awards that just happened this past weekend.
I think we're waiting till next week because I totally forgot about that.
But one the best best drama is Vinland Saga. It's an Amazon anime. So, like, if you're trying to really try to watch, you can't, like, have one streaming service to really watch the best of the best animes, because, like, some of them are on Netflix, or they're on exclusively on Hulu, exclusively on Crunchyroll, or exclusively on Amazon. So there is starting to be a lot of competition in the streaming service for anime, which does make it tough to kind of watch everything.
Right. But it's also good too, because, like, the same thing with, like, how Netflix has, like, the Mandalorian Disney Plus has the Mandalorian, but Netflix has, like, Stranger Things. Like, just more good things have a chance to be made. I mean, granted, more shit has a chance to be made, but also more good shit has a chance. Yeah. So more good is always better.
Yeah, I think when you have competition, I think it helps.
Right. I mean, it hurts a little bit, but it definitely helps get more eyes on better things.
Exactly.
Well, Sean, if you get some more weird friend advice on Untappd, it's because I put your Untappd profile on our Instagram for Hoppy Head Productions story. Oh, boy. So you might be getting some people you don't know to friend invite you.
Oh boy, we'll see.
But I know you need more friends on the Untappd.
Do I know?
You might get some requests for beer trades from people who want, like, East Coast beer.
Oh boy, I bet they better have something good to trade, man.
That's generally what you hope for, right?
I ain't cheap.
Well, when it comes to beer, maybe not.
Speaking of Untappd, make sure you're following us. You can see what we're drinking. You can follow me at Dr. Doom 2828. And
I'm at Hoppy Head Productions. I'm the official account.
The official, super official. You can also...
I forgot to mention last week, I hit our 500th, official 500th different beer.
That's pretty impressive, man.
In like 2 years.
It took 2 years, but you got there.
Yes.
You can always follow us on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. You can hear Danny's thoughts about random shit that doesn't make sense.
Only in my head.
Exactly. If you want to listen to us, make sure you check us out on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, and other fantastic devices.
Give us reviews, 5 stars on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, depending on if you're on the mobile or actual, like, laptop or PC, because apparently that's how people find you. Hit us up. If you have any complaints, you can private message Sean at on Untapped at Dr. Doom 2828.
Where I'll kindly ignore your concerns.
No, he'll cry in the corner.
I'm a big strong man, Danny. I don't cry.
You're a soy boy. Millennial.
I'm a devil man crybaby.
You're a millennial.
What up? Whatever, man. I don't want to hear your Gen X bullshit. Why don't you just go sit in the corner and not participate in anything or have an opinion?
Exactly. That's what a good Gen Xer does.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Next week, everybody.